And so when you read here, and I besought thy disciples to cast them out, and they could not, it's not always necessarily the disciples' fault. But in this case, Jesus is going to tell us, yeah, there's a problem here. The problem is about faith. The dispensation issue applies here. Faithless and perverse generation, he says, this generation is the apostate generation right before Jesus is crucified. After he's crucified, buried, rose again, we go into the book of Acts, you'll see this all flips on its head. Because during that transition period, they were given supernatural gifts that they didn't have before.
Yeah.
And even before they were dead, they didn't have them any longer.
Amen. That's right.
We talked about the Apostle Paul, you know, leaving Trophimus at Miletus sick. And the other things that they couldn't do, that which they did in the book of Acts. So now you have a bunch of con men, charismatic movement, trying to convince you that you can still do all those things. It's still for us today. And they always just, you know, bilk you out of money. It's a big fake thing. But we're going to see in Joel that there's a time described where that's going to happen again, just like the book of Acts. It's not going to happen because some charismatic preacher preaches it. It's going to happen, period. No one's going to be asking for it. No one's going to be preaching about it. That's what in the book of Acts, no one preached about it and said, if you just believe, we can do this and that. No, it fell on them and it happened.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. When it's God doing it, that's how it works. When you got to be talked into something and then ask for cash, there's a problem with that because that's not biblical. So in verse 40, it's their faith is still shallow and insincere, according to verse 41. Read that with me. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. So these people are still, as we'll see, they're not understanding even the basics of what Jesus is trying to teach them. And it's funny how the plain reading of Scripture destroys the sweet, fluffy version of Jesus. He didn't look at him and say, oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. He says, oh, faithless and perverse generation. How dare you? You're talking to me? Yes, he was talking to whoever was there at the moment. How long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. This is just something that I want to throw in there. This is the kind of stuff you get on social media. Anytime you say anything that sounds mean or something. And then somebody posted this, said, the only gang I'm interested in joining. And there's the crocodile hunter who said, be kind to animals. The other guy, I'm not even sure about in the corner there, he's an environmentalist, but I'm not sure of his name. It might be one of the Greenpeace founders. I don't know. Be kind to the earth. Down the corner's Mr. Rogers. Be kind to others. And then Bob Ross says, be kind to yourself. So I responded and said, aren't they all dead? I don't want to join that gang. Anyway, Jesus said, bring thy son hither. In verse 42, and as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. An ugly scene. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. I just think, you ever heard this, the saying, talk is cheap? That just is pretty much Jesus' attitude. He doesn't spend all the time. You've been told this, but it's not true. If anybody reads Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time waxing eloquent and sounding like, you know, fluff and muff and whatever. He's very direct. Very plain spoken. Why? Well, because he is wisdom personified. And if you go back to the book of Proverbs, it says a lot of bad things about flattery.
Yeah.
And so Jesus didn't spend a lot of time flattering people.
He doesn't flatter anybody.
And I'm going to tell you, some of the people who have caused me the most trouble through the years have been the most flattering to me. Now, some of you have been flattering to me, especially my beard. But I don't put you in that group unless you turn on me. But the old preacher said, when someone's bowing down before you, you better watch out because they might be just grabbing hold of the rug to pull it out from underneath you.
That's right.
Had somebody used to come in here and it was weird. This person would say, "Pastor Greg, I know that you are a true preacher and you tell us the truth and blah, blah, blah." And then ask a question. And almost every time I talk to this person, it was all this flattery.
Yep.
Well, let me just sum it up by saying they're not here today.
Yep.
I didn't do anything. I've searched my heart before God. You know, I didn't do anything. And you're going to find that. You better watch out. That's why I like straight talkers. And I was very thrilled the second or third time through the Bible when I realized that most of the things said about Jesus are a load of nonsense.
Amen.
And it set me free to accept the real Jesus in the Bible.
Praise God.
He's a man. He's not a wuss.
Amen.
He's plain spoken. He's not a flatterer.
Amen.
He's not interested in impressing you.
Amen.
He's interested in your soul.
Amen.
He's not interested in your bank account, although he knows that if you really love him, you will give to his ministry. But that's not what he's all about. You never see him, you know, planting seed faith offerings and all that kind of thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
So just like that, it's over. And that's where, you know, it's kind of compared with what we're fighting and striving and trying to stand for the truth, preach the gospel. We want to see people saved. We'd love to see the world follow Jesus, but we're failing. Why? It's not on us. As long as we're faithful to do those things, it's on those who reject Jesus. They're not rejecting me or you. They're rejecting Jesus and His Word. But suddenly, when Jesus shows up, it's going to be over just like that.
Amen.
Just like that. But the text emphasizes the response and answer from Jesus. Look at verse 43 in light of what we just read. "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God." For starters, should they be amazed? If they understand who Jesus is, they should be amazed at Jesus all the time, not when He does something. You see my point? And that's how a lot of people, their relationship with Jesus is. He's out of mind, out of sight and out of mind. And then when they need Him, begging Him to show up and do something. And then when He does, they're amazed. And it says, "But while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, He said unto His disciples," read 44 with me, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." See, His point is to preach the gospel even then. His point was, listen, I'm going to help people. I heal people because I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of the Father in your presence. But I'm preparing you for my death. See? Folks, it's a hard pill to swallow. But I got to tell you, no matter how we handle the next few years here in America, the worst is yet to come. And the darkest age we've ever seen will be the last 7 years before Jesus returns. That's just the way it is, folks. And it won't be just because God decided to plan it all out that way. He's told us beforehand the reason it's going to be that way is because that's how wicked and evil in time human beings will be. And it's coming.
Amen.
And at this point, a lot of Christians are trying to bring in the kingdom.
Yep.
Ain't going to happen. And every time Christians, whether it's the Catholic Church or Calvin at Geneva or the, Amish, I guess it was, the Mennonites at Munster. You know, there have been examples where people tried to bring in the kingdom and set it up now, and it ends up being a terrible mess. Even like Calvin and the Presbyterians in Geneva, they killed people. Nowhere near to the level that the popes, but look at not only the Inquisition, look at the Islam. That's what Islam's all about. It's conquering the world. That's why they've killed tens of millions of people.
Yep.
It's an old saying from fundamentalist preachers. Kingdom builders become bloody killers. Every time, if you know your history, that's happened.
Amen.
As though we're not trying to build a kingdom. We simply want God's, the God-ordained constitution of this country to stand.
Amen.
That's all we're asking. Every time people say, you're Christians trying to set up a theocracy, it's a lie.
Amen.
Of course, you can find some nuts in every group. Maybe they're out there, the Reconstructionists and Dominionists, you know, maybe they're, but that's a small portion of Christianity in America. And I'm here to tell you this. If there's ever a time where any Christian says they're going to take over this government and set up a Christian theocracy, I'll be their number one enemy. We have not been called to do that.
Amen.
And it will be a disaster if it's tried.
Amen.
It always is. So Jesus recognizes that they're looking for the crown before the cross.
Yep.
And he's trying to tell them, before I rule as king, I am going to die on a cross. And he makes this point, his point clear, but they refuse to hear. So look at verse 45. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Ignorance and fear. That's a deadly combination. That's why when he does die, they all forsake him. Old Testament saints were not looking forward to the cross. These are Old Testament saints right here.
Yeah.
And they're still under Mosaic law. This is still Old Testament. And they're not looking forward to the cross. They have no idea what Jesus is talking about.
Yeah.
And so when you hear that from preachers, just dismiss it. And we've discussed this previously. Jesus' followers refused to take him at face value and hear what he said. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. The Bible says what it says. Will you accept what it says? That's it.
Amen.
And all these games these seminarians play and the skeptics play with interpretation. They're a bunch of liars.
Amen.
It ain't any different from reading your newspaper, except this, that you'll understand what's said, but without the Spirit of God helping you, you won't understand the implications.
Yep.
See?
Right.
That's the difference. So 16 times Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You can look through the New Testament, you'll see 16 times where Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Seven times he said it to seven churches in Revelation.
Yep.
Each and every one. Look at Revelation 2. Go over there with your Bible. Look at Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation 2, verse 7. Just read the first part of verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. See that? He that hath an ear to hear. But look, he's telling him to hear what the Spirit. Why? First of all, this Bible is your Bible in front of you. It's material. There are words printed on the page. But those words themselves are Spirit. Jesus said, these words which I speak, they are Spirit and they're alive. You have to take those words in your through your eye gate or your ear gate. And we talked about, like Martha, you know, with Braille, you can take it through your finger gate. You know, well, whatever means you receive the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you have, these words are Spirit. And that's why you have to have the Spirit of God in you if you're going to really hear what he has to say.
Right.
And that's why he says that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Look at verse 11. Again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, you know what else that entails? He that hath an ear. Obviously, you've got ears, right?
Amen.
So what's he mean? He means those who have an ear, they listen. You have to be willing to hear it. You have to sit still and listen.
Yeah.
And with the Spirit of God in you, the willing person listening to the Word of God, there's an explosion about to happen. An explosion of understanding. But many people read the Bible and they're not really hearing. They're just looking for something to give them an excuse not to believe the Bible. Other people have an agenda of some sort. They may be even Christians. But like the people who sprinkle and pour and call it baptism. It's just a ridiculous joke. The Bible is clear. There's baptism by immersion. You won't find any babies baptized, and they have to jump through some of the most ridiculous semantical hoops to come up with anything to defend that practice. Nobody who had not already given themselves over to that agenda would read the Bible and start sprinkling and pouring babies. That's something a stupid pope had to come up with. If you research it, that's where it began. And so, and no matter what the, you know, question is. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'm not going to run through every one of these, but you can read it again in 2:29. You go to Revelation 3, you'll see it in verse 6, 13, and 22. Seven churches, and to every one of them, just he's saying that to every church. He's saying that to every believer. If you have an ear to hear, that's the first question. And in this generation is mostly, I'm talking about Christians. This generation, professing Christians, are mostly Laodicean.
Amen.
They do not have an ear to hear.
They are looking for something to tickle their ears.
Yes. Yes, they're looking for their ears to be tickled. Will you simply hear what Jesus says? These people he's talking to in our text back here in Luke 9. He can't be more clear. He says, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Do you understand that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do we have to have a discussion about interpretation? No. It's clear what he's saying. Look over at John 16. Well, I think we'll close it up here. But John 16, 12 and 13. John 16, 12 and 13. This explains why these same people he's talking to don't get it here, but they'll get it after Pentecost. John 16, verse 12 starts and says, I have yet many things to say unto you. That'll be the epistles. But ye cannot bear them now. Now read 13 with me. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now again, that was fulfilled as far as when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, and that's what you find in the epistles. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the first thing as a Christian you have to understand is God has given you all truth. He didn't say he's given you every truth. He's given you what you need. And it's found in the rest of the script, the rest of the story. But a lot of people jump in here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they choke because they tried to develop their doctrinal systems without letting all truth shed the light on what they're reading here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And First Corinthians 2, you don't have to turn there, but you can. First Corinthians 2, 12 and 14 is what we were discussing a moment ago. He said, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See that? He's given us all truth, but if you want to know it and understand it, you have to receive His Spirit. That means you must be born again. You have to be saved if you want to understand these things in the Word. Read verse, if you're there, read verse 13 with me. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, you have to have the Holy Ghost. You have to be born again. You have to have His Spirit in you. And then verse 14, read that. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There you go. That's it. Let's sing about that. Page 161, if you get your hymn book. The Comforter is come. With God's Spirit, you can do right, but you must choose to do right. You must choose to believe the gospel. You must choose to read the Word and believe it. You must choose to pray without ceasing. You must choose to preach the gospel to every creature God puts in front of you. You must choose to surrender your life and to present your body as a living sacrifice. You must choose to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which comes by the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Those are all choices you must make. God does not force Himself on anybody. But if you're willing, He will do it. Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Y'all know the story. What happened to that house? It withstood the trials and tests. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. That's the house that crumbles away with the winds and the rains and the floods. And that includes Christians. There are Christians who then get saved and build their life on sand. The Bible also refers to it as making shipwreck. Don't be one of them. Amen?
Amen.
Stand, if you will, and let's sing. Number 161, The Comforter.